Hey, did you ever buy the network, by the way?
Did I get it? No.
Mm-mm. Okay, I wasn't sure.
Have you?
Oh yeah, yeah, I got it day one. I enjoy it when I watch it. Well, okay. Last night, do you know who the comedian Mark Maron is?
Who's that?
Do you know who Mark Maron is? He's a comedian.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, we went and saw him last night.
Oh, nice. All right.
Yeah. Oh, you know, he's kind of, I don't know if you listen to his podcast or not, but he's kind of neurotic and I've heard that his shows can get like really depressing. Like he'll stop doing jokes and just start talking about stuff. And apparently, I think it was the show before us, the waitress said someone asked him about Robin Williams.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up. This is excellent. Okay, keep going.
Well,
keep going.
He apparently just stopped telling jokes and just started talking about how depressing and depressed he was when he found out. And it went on like for almost the entire show.
Okay.
So it just it's stuff like that. And I wasn't there, so it might have been exaggerated. But so I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I know his humor, but Elise goes into these things blind. She depends on me to not steer her incorrectly.
Okay.
And we had, I mean, it was, of all the comedians I've seen now, his was by far the best. He went almost 2 hours.
Okay.
And usually they're only up there an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But he started riffing on stuff, and then he asked somebody, like, how long have I been going? And the guy goes, 94 minutes. And he's like, what? He's like, 94 minutes already.
Yeah,
and he's like, okay, I'll wrap up. And 20 minutes later, he was done, and it was
excellent.
It was crazy, it was super funny. What a comedian! He starts off. Everyone considers North Carolina the South.
Yeah,
and maybe because I'm in one of the big cities here, I don't get that feeling, and I've only been here a year now.
Right.
But he starts off just ripping into the South. And then he starts making fun of Jesus.
Of course.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm laughing along, but I'm just sitting there like, what a ball. I mean, barely even a hello.
Yeah.
And he was ripping on people for, like, for being
believing
Christian.
In Jesus. Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
What balls that takes. That's.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, the whole reason that came up was we got home late. And we turned on the network, and they put on Saturday Night's Main Event, the one Hogan and Big Boss Man in the cage.
Okay, awesome.
I've never seen that before until last night. I've always heard about it. I was in shock when Hogan actually legitimately superplexed Boss Man from the top of the cage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still kind of stunned. I mean, because Bossman was not a small guy back then.
He was
been down
huge
later
at
in life.
The time.
Yeah.
But the thing was, even though he was really heavy at the time, he could keep up, man. He could go.
Mm-hmm.
So.
The reason he could always keep up, though, was his shirt always came unbuttoned. So he was constantly getting fresh air in there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That might have been my favorite part about that old gimmick of his.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how long the match was, the shirt busted open somehow.
Sure.
He never had a t-shirt under it.
Well, hey, as a fellow big guy, I can tell you those buttons give out sometimes.
I was going to say, you usually have a t-shirt on underneath, though, right? Just
I sure do. Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
there's certain etiquette that fat people have to obey by, you know?
Yeah.
And Big Boss Man did not. He just blatantly spit in the fat man etiquette. So.
Yeah. But, yeah, I really enjoyed that match, and I really was just shocked. Because, you know, people say, yeah, he went off the top of the cage. I'm like, fuck you. No, he didn't. Yeah.
Well,
and,
he did.
And the fact that Hogan did it, too, back then.
Mm-hmm.
Just startling. But.
That's how Boss Man got his job. Like, he was doing jobs under his real name for NWA, and Tully Blanchard gave him a slingshot suplex. And, like, Cornette and Ross and a few other guys were sitting there like, oh, if he can get up for a slingshot suplex, this guy's got potential, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Such an athletic guy for a big guy. So that's how he got his job in the first place.
Wow. But I remembered him as Big Bubba Rogers, obviously.
Yeah, that was his big break. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So he got the break before he was Big Bubba, or...
Well, yeah, that's how they spotted him. He was doing jobs as Ray Traylor or whatever, and then they took him off of TV for a while, and he came back as Big Bubba Rogers. Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. I did not know that.
That's the Very genesis cool. of the Big Boss Man.
Yep, and now he's dead. So,
mm-hmm.
That's what we were doing. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I think he would have been a great shoot interview if he had lived. I have always maintained that because of all the different companies he worked for at different times and all he's seen and stuff, he probably had some great stories.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because he was in WWE during the cartoon years, if you want to put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went to NWA, or World Championship Wrestling, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
and... Then the NWO stuff took off. Then he left and went back to WWE during the Attitude Era.
Exactly.
Yeah, boy.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been pretty amazing, especially knowing he hung out with, like, Kurt Hennig and all them.
Right.
Yeah.
But let's go back quick. I'm glad you brought up Robin Williams, because I was thinking about Robin Williams this weekend, and I was thinking about Richard Pryor. And they're mm-hmm. very similar in the respect that they use comedy to mask their sadness. Richard Pryor used comedy as, you know, like turning it on its head, right? Like, yeah, I got a lot of pain inside me, but let's make this funny. Let's make it useful. And Robin Williams was very similar. Like, he just sort of masked what he was feeling by making people laugh. And love him or hate him, like, he was a great interview. Ethan Skolnick of Miami was telling the story. He was covering the World Series that was the Yankees and the Marlins. And for some reason, Robin Williams was there. So he's like, I got to get a soundbite from Robin Williams. And Robin Williams gave him 20 minutes of just jokes, just about baseball jokes, you know? It's like fucking cool, you know?
Yeah.
That's just the kind of guy he was. He was a sweetheart of a man who evidently had problems that we couldn't understand. So.
Yeah, and especially when it came out that, you know, he... Now that he apparently had early onset Parkinson's, whatever else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, pretty shocking. And he was obviously a renowned actor. His stand-up got a little long in the tooth at the end. The last special I remember seeing, he was doing Clinton jokes, and this was in, like, 2006?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God, really? You're doing Monica Lewinsky Clinton jokes in the 2000s? Like, eh.
No, I know.
That's really bad.
Yeah.
I got a little network update. It crashed out of me on the Xbox One, and there's a problem, and I can't get back into it.
Nice.
No.
Well, that's exciting.
Oh, that's bad. But
speaking of Richard Pryor... Just to fill time here.
Oh, no, I was going to say something about that, too.
I saw something this weekend. Richard Pryor and Milton Berle together on a talk show in the 70s. And Milton Berle was talking about fathering a child out of wedlock. And he was in straight Shakespeare mode, right? Like, looking up at the lights like, oh, God, please forgive me. And Richard Pryor's bullshit detector must have been just going haywire, because he called him right out on it. And it was very tense and hostile, and it made for great television.
What was he calling him out about?
Oh, just being a Hollywood showbiz phony. He was milking
wow.
it and trying to sell books, you know?
Oh, wow.
Milton Berle's just a big phony. And, you know, just look, like I said, he looked up at the lights like, oh, God. You know? and Richard Pryor's like, give me a break, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, to tie that back to Robin Williams, did you ever see those old Richard Pryor shows? He only had...
Yeah.
And Robin Williams was on it and one of the writers for the show.
Okay.
He was actually, the old sketch, the first black president sketch.
Okay.
Robin Williams was actually in the background, and he was one of the reporters asking the question, or trying
oh,
to.
I don't
think he ever actually asked.
I don't think I knew that. Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's where that started. So that's what I thought you were going for when you were talking about the, it's not YouTube, hang on, I'll find it. But
no, it's just very similar styles. But that's
oh,
fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's where they got it from, and they revolutionized comedy in different ways.
Yeah, and with Pryor, though, like, he talked about it on stage. You know, the classic joke, like, you ever, like, what do you call this? And he has the mask. You know, Richard Pryor running down the street.
Yeah.
Like, just stuff like that. And then just talking about his drug addiction, where, you know, Robin Williams did it a little bit when he would talk about being on cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
But then he just, you know, covered it up with other things. And
yeah.
You never really got it. You never really got the full story. I mean,
right.
I just sent it to you. But, and by the way, that sketch is still fantastic. It's that Richard Pryor show was really damn funny, but apparently he got fired of censors and standards and practices messing with the content. So he just said, screw it, and just stopped doing it.
Okay. Good
like,
for him.
Wow. Yeah. But it was also a different time. It was the 70s. And the fact that sketch alone, and then they had like a Star Wars kind of sketch, where I think he played Han Solo, if I remember. We're pretty progressive. But I think Robin Williams was even in that sketch. He might have been a bartender.
Okay.
But,
yeah, I had no idea he worked with them like that. That's cool.
Yeah, and then I think that's what led to the spot on Happy Days as Mork.
Okay.
And then Mork and Mindy, which, okay, so when Robin Williams died.
Yeah.
You know, pretty shocking. And you didn't really hear too many bad things about the dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone fucked up. I guess he was... Didn't he end up marrying his kid's babysitter or something?
He had
but
three
long,
different
a
wives.
A long time
I
ago.
Think... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's about the worst. But you didn't really hear anything about him, so it's kind of cool. And then you see the tributes, I guess, and, like, the ones, like, the genie hugging Aladdin. Was
mm-hmm.
one of them.
Yep.
I didn't mind that, I guess, because Aladdin, you know, Robin Williams' part in Aladdin is pretty iconic and
right.
was really funny, actually. But then I kept seeing, like, the Mork and Mindy ones.
Right.
I don't, maybe it's me, but I'm like, there's so many more up-to-date pictures, roles, any of that stuff.
Right.
That the Mork and Mindy, I don't know. I don't think any of it was done out of malice. Oh, I'm sure there's probably some. But
mm-hmm.
it was just weird to see
and
kind of like, maybe you should have gone like Goodwill Hunting or something. Or
right. Totally agree.
I didn't see any one-hour photo memes anywhere. So,
mm-hmm.
which if you haven't seen that, that's a pretty damn good movie, too. He was in.
That's really good. Creeptastic. Love it.
The last movie I saw him in was one-hour photo. No, I'm sorry, not one-hour photo. I said that. World's Greatest Dad.
Never seen it.
Oh, dude. It's a Bobcat Goldthwait movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and it didn't get any press. I didn't remember seeing it, so I just saw Robin Williams, and it said 1 hour. Oh, shit, yeah, that was my problem. But it said,
"World
Greatest
Dad."
Yeah, and he's just standing on the cover or the box poster, or whatever. It's just him in a robe holding a coffee cup that says "World Greatest Dad."
Okay.
And I'm like, what the fuck is that? I don't want to see this.
Right, right.
And then you watch the trailer for it, and it's like, okay, kid and his dad don't get along. All right.
You're like, okay, what's the point of this?
Until the kid and dad not getting along only lasts about 15 minutes.
Okay.
And the rest of the movie is fucked. And it's,
okay.
It was great. And it was Robin Williams doing what he does best. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know he's got a new one either out or coming out. But the last one I saw by Bobcat was, God damn it. God Bless America. Is that what it was called?
Okay. I think
it was where it was one of the Murray brothers goes around and starts shooting people he doesn't like because they're rude or he finds them distasteful. Another really good one. Hey everyone, welcome to the audio experience number something. I don't remember if it's been a fun few weeks technology-wise. So
let me explain what's been happening here, because Jeremy's going to talk about technical problems. He's going to try to sweep the issue under the rug. I was suspended for 2 weeks. I had a deal in place to fly an airplane over Wade Keller's house for 4 hours. And the network got a hold of the idea, and they said, no, you're not. I said, yeah, I am. I'm going to fly the plane. And they said, no, you're not. And they canceled it and everything, and I had already paid for it. And Jeremy, such a help Jeremy is. The first text I got from him when he found out about the idea, he promised to go halfsies with me. He hasn't contributed one red cent to the whole project. And it got kiboshed, so the money just went down the toilet. So Jeremy's sitting pretty here while my bank account said zero. And I think he got paid during the whole thing because he wasn't suspended. I was. So this is ridiculous.
Well, what was your true punishment for the last 2 weeks, though? Money's one thing. But having your personal space invaded for 2 weeks is much different.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Is that over with now? Or are you still playing Daddy Warbucks for a while? Or now? I guess it wouldn't be Daddy Warbucks. What was the chick's name that took care of Annie? I don't remember her
still
name.
Still here.
What was her name?
Sarah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Someday we can talk about that, and that'll be interesting to talk about.
Well, that's how I meant to start this off, and then we just got into the other thing. So I was trying to figure out a way to weasel back in. So, my technical problem was Toshiba's laptops are fucking horrible. So I had my entire hard drive just died on me for no reason. So,
okay.
And of course, it's out of warranty, so I had to fix it myself.
Are you sure it was for no reason, or were you back on Pornhub again?
No, the hard drive died. It wasn't a virus.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And important of the safe one, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it's a safe one.
Well,
it's
let me try. But yeah, no,
let's try it out. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was actually talking to you on Facebook and then Elise on Facebook, and you know, like our conversations usually do, they don't end. They just get paused for a while, and then
if I have to go to bed, I'll just go to bed, and then I know, like, the next day I'll just be able to talk to you again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, her, I said, hey, all right, I'm falling asleep, whatever, move my computer, and in the morning it wouldn't start.
Right.
So, wonderful. But anyways, we're done with that. We've got a bunch of stuff to actually talk about.
There's actual news.
Where do you want to start? Because I know I hit you up about the Bully Ray stuff, but I guess, like, you used to do the TNA podcast on here a long time ago because you were the only one I could stomach watching it. So I get the date's coming up, September 25th. We're almost, almost a month away?
Yeah.
From that?
Yeah. A month
from the final broadcast. Mm-hmm. Let's see, we got 22nd. Yeah, after this week, it'll be a month. And so basically, for anyone who doesn't know, I don't know how by this point you wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
TNA and Spike haven't come to terms with a new contract deal. In the meantime, TNA is being shipped to Wednesday. They just released Bully Ray, or whatever, Let's Bully Ray, and they split. Vince Russo had something to do with it.
That was a gem right there. Vince Russo sending out a booking email and copied in, like, Mike Johnson of PWSpyware.com. That was fantastic. Spike TV at that time had no idea that Russo was back with the company, and Mike Johnson let the cat out of the bag. What's the origins of that saying, by the way? Why are we letting the cat out of the bag?
You know, that it's much like everything else. Who the fuck knows at this point?
Yeah.
See.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look it up. But
Mike Johnson let the cat out of the bag, and Spike TV got word of Russo being back with the company, and they had given Dixie and TNA the ultimatum: no Russo, we won't take your company if you have Russo. And it's such a simple thing. Just don't employ the moron who can't write wrestling. And I don't understand why Dixie just kept bringing him back and bringing him back and eschewed all these talented people like Jim Cornette and whoever the hell else, Dutch Mantel, all these really smart guys who got thrown by the wayside because of her obsession with Russo. Who, by the way, during his heyday, which is now like a decade and a half ago, and he's just been milking that same cow that passed out, you know, 15 years ago, he had Cornette and Jim Ross and Terry Taylor and who the hell else, like, deciphering through his bullshit to make it sound good, and Vince McMahon editing it. And it wasn't all his doing back in the Attitude Era, even though he would have you believe it was. And that was the last time he was any good whatsoever. And ever since then, he's been trying to recapture the glory, but he hasn't. And the only thing I can think of is that Russo and Dixie Carter have been fucking. And I dare you to deny that as a possibility. Jeremy?
I'm here. I'm trying to come up. You said you're daring me, so I'm trying to come up with something.
What else can it be? When the broadcasting company that houses your television show says, hey, we're fine with you as long as you keep Russo away, and you still bring Russo back, what other explanation is there?
I want... Give me... Oh, God damn it. Maybe it's just a comfortability, if that's a word.
Okay.
Because she ostracized Jarrett. Mantel is now in WWE. Is Terry Taylor in WWE now? Isn't he an agent?
I think he might be, yeah.
Okay. Who else was gone? Cornette won't even... He can't get through one of his podcasts without bashing TNA out of the blue. So
right.
I'm pretty sure that's never going to happen. So, and
he
then
probably
what happened
pushed out Scott D'Amore. Not that D'Amore was any good, but there's another guy, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but then you've got Hogan comes in and Bischoff. And Bischoff was on the payroll without being utilized at all.
Right.
For the longest time. So it's like everything she's done hasn't worked out, but then Vince Russo's still there, always at arm's length, I guess, like we all are now with phones and that.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. It's just a comfortability. I think that's a real word. Whatever.
Cool.
It's just comfort, isn't it? And she knows that this guy, she knows this guy's not going to go anywhere. No one wants him.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, which I know should just signal, hey, no one wants this guy. That should tell you something right there. But it's a perplexing thing.
It is. It really is. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
One thing that you touched on or said, and which I just want to go back to for a second, was the more Russo gets interviewed for things, the more Vince McMahon let him do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
It's not
that
Vince McMahon didn't help write.
Mm-hmm.
Or it wasn't that Vince McMahon was his editor. It was Vince didn't say no to anything. It was on Steve Austin's podcast, and he says, it's balding to the wall. It's like, oh, God, balls to the wall shouldn't be said anyways. But then saying balding,
oh my God.
Childish garbage. Childish shit. And I don't know. Like, pedal to the metal, I don't know. Which one's worse, pedal to the metal or balls to the wall?
Balls to the wall is worse.
But at least Balls to the Wall had that song that was on Beavis and Butthead. Remember that?
That was a pretty good heavy metal song, yeah. Balls to the Wall by Accept, a German heavy metal band. Yeah, pretty good song.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, the guy looked like a pig, according to Beavis. So,
yeah.
That's really as much as I know about that song. And I couldn't remember if it was Accept or Exodus, but I should have known better. It wasn't actual. But he's a guy that never really learned. Like, everything in WCW was an excuse. And mind you, he may have had a point for WCW.
Yeah.
Because
he's 100% right about the corporate nature of the company holding people down. Absolutely true there.
Mm-hmm. Which one are you talking about? I don't think I heard this.
What? No, Russo, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Just, the layers of corporate bureaucracy. Like, you couldn't get anything done in WCW. Everybody had a boss that had to clear it with another boss, and, the standards and practices, you couldn't do anything edgy. And nothing ever got approved, and it was just a mess to work there, and that's why Bill Watts had quit a decade earlier,
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we were talking about WCW still. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely right about that. It was such a mess. The buck never stopped with anyone. So.
Yeah, well,
you got to hire somebody and give them autonomy. Not that Russo deserved it, but...
Hey, and this is going back a ways, and I'll tie this into the TNA part. When he went to WCW, they hired him away from WWF at the time. Shouldn't he have been given autonomy? If you're putting that much of a money, if you're putting that much of a monetary, decision, financial backing, mortgaging your future, whatever, like giving this guy all that money, shouldn't you go, all right, we're giving you all this money, everything's yours, so everything falls on you. But so you never saw it happen there, and this isn't turning into a defense of him, believe me.
No.
But do you think that ever happened with TNA as well? Do you think Dixie ever said, "Here's the book, go ahead"?
Mm-hmm.
Or Jarrett said, "Here's the book, go ahead," because that's actually when he got brought in, but Jarrett was there.
Right.
So he still had Jarrett to deal with. He still had Cornette to deal with. The guy was never given a run.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I guess that I'm trying to build an argument for the comfortable part, to where, you know, without being able to do whatever he wanted,
things were just
kind of pleasant. And maybe now, which apparently he was saying he wasn't actually involved in booking, he was just a creative consultant.
Yeah.
Which, isn't that part of booking, being creative in the booking room?
Of course it is.
Yeah. So that didn't make any sense. But how funny is that, though? This seasoned professional, this guy with all the answers, sends out an email to one of the dirt sheets, or dirt sites, I guess.
Yeah.
And basically outs himself and then tries to cover it up, right? Which he should. Can you fault the guy? He's not supposed to be hired. But then he covers it up and says, "Well, no, sorry, this was for this." Like, "Oh, he's clearly lying." Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're supposed to do. So what could he... How bad of a person, or what could he possibly have done, in all seriousness, to make Spike TV say he's not allowed to work for you? He's not allowed to work for your company while you're on our network.
Well, maybe it has to do with ratings. Maybe Spike TV saw what the ratings do when Russo takes over. You know, maybe that's it. Maybe they disapproved of his edgy content. You know, maybe they wanted a more wholesome family product, and he kept doing, you know, midgets and trash can stuff, you know?
Yeah, well.
That could be.
I think, didn't it have something to do with the way, like, the violence with women? Most of that was done during his booking.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So maybe that's part of it.
Sure.
But even then, all right, so the booking against women stopped. So what, I mean, ratings for them have been the same, haven't they? For at least 2 years, it's been a one, or hovering around a one, either a point or two above or a point or two below.
I feel like it's been about the same. Maybe sometimes it dips a little lower, but it's usually in that neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah. So the ratings part, I mean, I could see it's like whenever he took over, they crashed from a 2 to a 1. Or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, 0.2, 0.3 up and down, I don't know. It seems a little, like, almost a little too much or too harsh, you know?
Sure.
So, unless he's just, like, a total dick, and the Spike TV guys are like, "This guy's an idiot."
Yeah.
We can't have this guy representing the company or the product.
I mean, maybe you just have to look at him and talk to him one time. He's not a very intelligent person, you know? So.
I know you were going for the joke there, but I suddenly got serious about it. Like, well, he can't be that stupid, can he? But then I'm like, well, this is a guy that sent an email out to a dirt sheet like a jackass.
Right, exactly. How smart is that? How do you not notice before you hit send who you're sending it to?
Yeah, and well, the other thing that should be worrisome as well is, why does he have Mike Johnson's email? Did he do shoot interviews or something with him? Or some sort of interview?
He probably gave him information.
There you go. That would be another huge thing. And that's where if you're Dixie Carter, you go, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Right.
why do you have this guy's number? That should be first and foremost. Like, wait a minute. Why does this guy exist in your world? So, yeah, just
right.
All sorts of wrong involved there. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, all right. To move on from Vince Russo.
Continuing with TNA.
Yeah, which will still be part of the conversation, though.
Yep.
Well, all right, I guess we're not getting away from Vince Russo, but how much of a drag or how much of a dredge is Vince Russo that Spike TV says he can't work for the company? I know I'm repeating myself. And then it gets to, we're going to hire him back on the fly, on the sly.
Mm-hmm.
Spike TV finds out and goes, oh, wait, are you serious? You're off our network. We're not renewing you.
Right.
There has to be something else there.
Now,
Spike TV has all sorts of, like, rescue shows, Tattoo Rescue, the original Bar Rescue,
yep.
Investment Hunters, you know, a
mm-hmm.
Contractor Rescue, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, they've got the garbage shows on as well.
Mm-hmm.
TNA is their highest-rated show every week.
Yeah.
How can you suddenly just let your highest-rated TV show just go for no reason, for just out of the blue?
So, well, that's interesting, yeah.
So, what did... I don't want to say what did Vince Russo do, you know, but... that can't be the only thing, right? I mean, all right, I guess that's the question. Vince Russo being involved with TNA, that can't be the reason they were let go. That can't be the only reason, right?
It's very possible that during these meetings with the suits, he just completely buried himself to the suits there, you know, to the point where it turned them off and they didn't want to do business with him anymore. Like, we don't know the details of that kind of stuff.
I can't imagine one guy, though. Maybe that's where my head's stuck at, man. That one guy is causing a network to lose at least a million viewers every Thursday for 2 hours.
But it's not just some guy. It's the worst wrestling booker in wrestling history, you know? It's an oafish brute of a man, a woman-hating loser, who probably smells bad, never shaves, and writes terrible wrestling.
Yeah, isn't that annoying, that whole not shaving thing for him?
I don't like facial hair. This is the thing. Like, Kevin looks okay with facial hair, but as a general rule, I hate facial hair. Okay? And when Kevin shaved, I thought it was like a miracle from Jesus, like God delivering me a pizza. He looked so much better. My dad has had a mustache my whole life, and it's been a constant point of consternation for me. But him, that thing is the grossest beard I've ever seen in my life. And it's just another reason to want to slap him in his stupid, oily face.
Well, I didn't have that strong, but I just found it annoying. So, but, yeah. All right.
Maybe I'm biased because I don't particularly care for the guy. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, it's like anytime you don't like somebody and they have something you don't like about them, you're going
right.
to pick apart every single piece. So, yeah.
But,
I just find
like
it annoying
Kevin,
he hasn't changed his look. So.
Like Kevin, I really like, so I'm going to let his facial hair slide more, you know? Like, you know, that's just the way it is. So.
Yeah, exactly. There's plenty of other reasons to hate Kevin. Not his facial hair. So,
indeed.
Yes. But yeah. All right. So we're good. All right. Vince Russo doesn't work for Spike TV. Do you think Spike doesn't work for TNA? Do you think TNA is still on Spike TV? We're not even having a conversation about them being without a TV deal in a month.
That's a really good question because maybe they were just looking for a reason to get rid of them. But I don't know, man, because like you said, there were good ratings, solid ratings for the network, I got to believe there's more to, you're right, there is more to this story than meets the eye. I'm on cliche.com, by the way.
Yeah.
And so there's stuff to this story that we will never know. You're absolutely right. I'm thinking out loud here. You're absolutely right. There's stuff we're not going to know. And it just
feels not for a while.
Like Spike was looking for an excuse to get rid of it.
I don't know why you'd want to lose a million viewers a week, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, you can only watch Bar Rescue so many times before you go, oh, okay, this bar turned into something else. And then if you do what I do, read about the bar to find out that it's actually closed a month later anyway. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, just the perplexity of it to me is just losing that. Unless they've got a deal with Ring of Honor, which is laughable, I understand. They can't have one with AAA because AAA is signed with the El Rey Network.
Right.
Or AAA America, excuse me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to willingly give that up makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, very strange.
But how funny, I mean, not to the TNA, you know, employees or contractors, whatever they're calling them there, but how funny would it be, though, if, you know, Vince Russo was the reason that it was totally canceled? People blame him for the demise of WCW anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine his legacy if this is all true. He's the one that's why Spike lost it. He'd be credited with TNA going belly up. And then also WCW going belly up.
Right.
That is an amazing legacy to have. I mean, right or wrong, obviously, but it's still a pretty amazing legacy to have.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have killed two wrestling companies in a matter of 10 years, 15
yeah.
years, something
mm-hmm.
like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just. So,
that's
do you
very
think
impressive.
Do you think there's any hope for TNA?
What's
and
that?
I know this. All right. I was asking if you think there's any hope for TNA. And
okay.
I know that's a very large question. You can break it down however you want. Either staying on Spike, finding somebody else, going out of business. I mean, is there anything that makes you think after September 25th, right,
mm-hmm.
that TNA will exist?
It's so hard to say. They probably need to completely redo things, right? They need to get a new name for their company and start all over again. The TNA name has been beaten through the mud so much, and Russo's been beaten through the mud, and Dixie Carter and all that kind of stuff. They gotta start over, and they have to find a network. It's not going to work if it's not on television somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's what WCW found out. That was the kiss of death for them, cliche.com. no network to show the show. There is no show. There is no wrestling company, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The tree's falling in the forest and no one gives a shit. So, yeah. I don't know what company. They almost need to get. What is Ted Turner doing? Or Donald Trump?
That's a good question about Ted Turner. I have no clue.
Yeah.
I guess counting his millions or billions. Isn't he a billionaire?
Sure. Can they get him to come back into the fold?
Well,
that would help.
It would definitely help, but isn't it kind of like going, don't most businessmen not go to well twice with projects? Like if one's a catastrophic failure or if, you know, one just went out of business, it's like, you know, if you're selling hot dogs and this group doesn't like hot dogs anymore,
mm-hmm.
or this group doesn't want to invest in your hot dogs, it's like, I used hot dogs and realized I had nowhere to go. because it didn't make any fucking sense.
So it sounds delicious, though. I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
I was just going to keep saying hot dog until you said something about how good they were. So thank you. But even though I just blew my
mustard. Mustard and relish.
I would kill for eating mustard again. I'd die eating mustard again. But I'd kill to be able to do it. It's so nice. Awful. Stupid allergies. That make no sense. But
allergies. Oh, God.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I told you about that. So Lowe's, I remember distinctly being on one of the shows, and you just started laughing because I was allergic to mustard. I was like, well, I deserve that one, I guess. So.
Well, in my defense, no, there is no defense. I was a jerk.
No, it's an idiotic. Yeah, I told you, I'm allergic to mustard, snow peas. Those awful, awful, awful vegetables that I don't eat anyway. I'm allergic to everything that I didn't do anyway.
I mean, let's be honest. They're totally disgusting.
Yeah, they're not good. They're called peas. Oh.
Yeah.
They're not. Yeah. Anyway, so we're saying there's no hope for DNA.
I mean, probably not. I mean, I hate to be negative Nancy, and I keep burying TNA every time you ask me about them, and I keep saying, yeah, they're going out of business this year. And, I don't see how they can stay alive without a TV show. And unless they make major, huge changes, it's a dead product, really. And the rich get richer because Vince McMahon can just buy off the assets, buy off the useful wrestlers, and everything else can go by the wayside again.
Well, I guess we can get to that part in a second, but
yeah.
There's no network out there that would show interest in them. Because you're guaranteed a million viewers.
Okay, so you go to the networks and you pitch that. We'll give you a million viewers. And maybe, I don't know, something like E! Entertainment or FX Network or something, maybe?
And that's the problem. All these networks out there, I have no idea where TNA could fit in.
Mm-hmm.
MTV? But could you, I mean, TNA's a wreck as it is right now. Could you imagine if they were on MTV with the way they do commercial breaks and the way they edit shows and whatnot? Because there'd be a mandate for it. And, brother. But I almost said Comedy Central, but I was trying to say with Viacom properties.
Yeah.
So none of those work.
Right.
I just don't know. I mean, the Fox Sports has their deal with UFC. I don't think they're going to try and cross brand. You can't have your drama. Yeah, you can't have your drama fighting and your MMA fighting on the same network. Mm-hmm. It just confuses it. There's the CBS Sports Network, but who the hell gets that? And I only watch that for football, but I can only watch Rice versus Navy once a year anyways. So who cares?
Right.
There's literally nothing.
And I don't know. It's impossible to know.
Yeah.
I guess you'd have to go to every network. Hey, you interested?
Sending out a resume to every gas station in the city. One of you guys needs a gas attendant, right? Right? Or actually, in this case, one of you guys needs a windshield wiper, right? Just someone needs to,
You know what? I can do both. Damn it. Someone needs me.
So TNA, all right. TNA couldn't be on a sports network, right? I just thought of this. No, WWE is not on any sports network.
Right.
So I was thinking too skewed, but, I don't think any of the Turner stuff's going to bother, picking it up, which maybe, if Ted Turner had anything to do with it, maybe that'd be one reason, but.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But with their programming, there's no way.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless they decided to change up not Steam content. Go to Showtime with it. I know that's like, you know, a long, that's a long sense.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, but it's been discussed anyways. My ECW was coming up. Didn't WWE, weren't they rumored at one time to go to Showtime or HBO? Because they could,
maybe HBO. Yeah. Yep.
So, but even then, can you imagine, like, the Game of Thrones, and then following Game of Thrones, TNA wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no. I mean, that sounds terrible.
They got to change the name of the company.
So, is Impact Wrestling still a bad name?
Impact Wrestling is like a C+.
So, is it better than Global Force Wrestling?
Yes.
Okay. I thought so too. So
yes,
but I think that's
Force
another.
Sounds like a joke.
Global Force sounds like it's trying to be an MMA company.
Yep. Yeah,
well, I don't fault them for that.
Right,
but
right, exactly.
But isn't that sort of the elephant in the room too? I haven't seen too much discussion about it. They're looking to get off the ground. They've got to deal with, isn't it New Japan?
Mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Jeff Jarrett was part of it when they were on Spike.
Yeah.
Who's to say they don't have some sort of backdoor dealing to say, we've got a brand new product that Russo guy will never be involved. Here's our high energy, and he can show clips of AJ Styles, Knox, American guy.
Yeah.
Battling out with New Japan, a stiff athletic style. And,
that's fascinating.
Yeah, in front of packed houses, which will not be packed, you know, nearly
right.
what they are
mm-hmm.
here, but go, this is what we're bringing to the table. And all you have to do is show the latest TNA show with Sam Shaw drawing a picture to Gunner. And then
right. yeah.
they're being in a six-sided ring in the middle of Manhattan with a bunch of guys who were in their mid to late 40s talking about something that happened in 1998.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I think the absence of Global Force Wrestling trying to find television,
mm-hmm.
being absent from the conversation of TNA, it's actually kind of irresponsible. It's got to be mentioned.
Yeah.
So.
Very good, Jeremy.
I don't know. It honestly, it probably means nothing. But
yeah.
it doesn't make any sense for it to not be nothing.
Right.
TNA gets a nice, new, clean, athletic show. And I just
yep.
realized that Bellator is on Spike as well. So you can have MMA and wrestling on the same network, I guess.
You can have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, I guess. So not like Bellator is basically the TNA of the MMA world right now. Anyway.
Very good, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They're made for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, obviously we know TNA going out of business isn't good for wrestling
right.
in general.
No, not at all. No matter how bad it gets, it's at least a second place,
yeah.
you know?
So I'll stick with the Global Force Wrestling because you mentioned it too. You said Vince McMahon can go in and pick whoever he wants out of those guys. Well,
mm-hmm.
apparently the new rules are they want guys coming through Orlando only.
Okay.
Which is ridiculous anyway, so whatever.
Yeah.
So you've got Global Force sitting out there going, look, guys, we've got this sweet – we've got a sweet deal coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We've got – We have a brand we've been building for almost a year. You know, we have major partners involved, which, and by partners, I mean outside sponsors.
Yeah.
Not actual business deals. You heard the rumors that this was the Global Force is being funded off of somebody's lottery winning?
I heard that, yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not, but doesn't that sound like the most carny wrestling thing ever, if that's
yes.
true?
Yes.
If you're sitting. He can just go
let me
to...
Ask you. Let me ask you this, because I've thought about it before. Like, let's say you win the jackpot on Powerball or something, whatever your biggest lottery thing is that you got going on there in Podunk.